The Barbarian of Atlantis, read by the author, Paul Joel Martin. Copyright 2023. For the complete audiobook and many other audiobooks and podcasts, subscribe to Paul Martin's audiobooks and ideas. Chapter 5. Fugitives to the Exotic West. Heller and Bors travelled across the subtropical plains of the north and stopped by a tavern for the night. The tavern owner strongly advised against travel at night time, since hordes of ape men were hunting, killing and eating humans after sunset. They were cruel and sadistic, showing no mercy even to women and children. Neanderthals had once focused on hunting mammoths or giant elks and left humans alone. But over time, these elks and mammoths became scarcer on the plains and migrated to the frozen far north, where there were less humanoid creatures to hunt them and it was sparsely populated. Humans began encroaching upon traditional Neanderthal land, so they became immediate targets for these ape men in need of meat. Entire human settlements had been obliterated by night raids from strong, aggressive and loud ape men who had beaten them to death with clubs and spared no one. Some had even been captured only to be roasted alive by an amused crowd of ape men. Such horrifying atrocities actually had a positive effect on the people of Atlantis. It had made ethnic groups and cultures band together as one people who frequently rescued each other from mass extermination. It also benefited the Alk dynasty and other elites by uniting most of Atlantis into one single kingdom with much commerce and trade. The political and religious elites had called for crusades to exterminate the ape men. Many of their numbers had been drastically reduced, but they were still a major problem in the northern plains. A tavern owner, Virgus, told Bors and Heller a story about the plains. "There were once two travelling companions going from Atlantis City to the desert kingdom of Gachi. They were Hor and Exor. They travelled into the plains and were pursued by a group of ape men. Being on horseback, they easily outran them. As the day wore on, they realised they needed to continue their journey to get to the next walled-off village for safety. Eventually, they found an empty abandoned castle in the middle of nowhere. No one lived there. It had no doors, so no one could just walk in and out at will. They wondered if it was safe to sleep overnight. They were tired from travel, despite the day being far from over, so they settled down to camp. They tied up the horses. Exor shot a rabbit with his bow and arrow, then roasted it over the fire. As they lay down to rest that night, they didn't realise they were being watched. The ape men kept a regular eye on this castle, knowing it was unprotected and a lure for weary travellers. Once it was dark, they surrounded the castle. The two companions were woken by the horses, startled by these predators. Hor and Exor drew their swords and died fighting. They killed about 40 Neanderthals, being vastly superior, but couldn't survive the overwhelming numbers. So they died fighting. Bors said, "I have a question. How do we know this story's true?" Virgus looked annoyed. "What do you mean? My father, a deeply honourable man, told it to me, and many of the village elders can vouch for it." Bors sighed. "I'm not dishonouring your father or the elders. I'm just wondering how we know it's true if Hor and Exor didn't live to tell the tale. Ape men don't communicate with us. Was there someone else watching the whole thing that got away and lived to tell the tale?" Virgus paused, then shrugged. "I don't know. Probably something like that." Heller interjected. These are cautionary tales. But are they true? Insisted Bors. Hela replied, there's a reason these cautionary tales exist, because they're based on what really happens. It's better to learn than to question if they actually happened. Thurgis smiled. Thank you, he said to her. Bors and Hela slept together in a bed and cuddled in each other's arms. Hela said, have you ever lived in Gachi City? I was sold to a tavern owner there. It had lots of beautiful women who were strippers and belly dancers to entertain drunken crowds. My job was removing rowdy people and serving drinks. What about you? Well, I went there a few times for a holiday and to do some shopping. They had exotic spices and some of the best clothing I've ever worn. Bors thought about it for a moment. Speaking of which, we need to think about our new livelihood in Gachi. Hela said, I've enough money to buy a house and fabrics to make clothes with. We can sell them on the market. Is it hard work, making clothes? I'm not familiar with clothes. I know, my handsome husband. That's why I'm not expecting you to make them. But you can help out, and I'll buy a couple of slave girls and set them to work. They can also serve as concubines and to give us children. Bors smiled at his wife, who looked at him affectionately. They kissed slowly and passionately. He said, it sounds like you've planned everything ahead. Hela smiled at her man and stroked his head. Then she said, I'll never destroy my life like I almost did with drugs and debt. If I'm going to help make clothes, what will I do with my spare time? Hela gently stroked his chest while thinking some more. I suppose you could find something exciting to do. Perhaps all the things your brother taught you might come in handy. The next morning, Thurgis served them a breakfast of bread, tomatoes and cheese. They set out early to reach the next village in time. At about midday, they saw a grey structure off in the distance. As they neared it, they came to a wide open field with the ruins of a castle. They were both struck with an eerie vibe of evil and darkness. They felt a powerful, entrancing force drawing them towards the ruins. As they walked through the rubble of a collapsed wall, they saw some stairs leading to a lookout tower. Then they saw a sight that gave them chills. Masses of skeletons on the ground. Upon closer inspection, they were of humans and ape men. They exchanged a grim look. Their curiosity drew them to the top of the tower. They saw a massive expanse before them of distant mountains and ravines. Then Hela gasped. Bors spun around and looked at the wall. There was writing that said, Hor and Exor were here. So, it's a true story then, said Bors. Let's get out of here. I have this sense of, yes, I do too, of being watched. They hurried down the stairs and got aboard their cart, signalling for the horses to move. As the castle disappeared from sight, they felt the eerie vibe slowly lift off them. Later that day, near sunset, they reached a small walled village to stay for the night. The people were Gachians, with blonde hair, green eyes and olive skin. They were about a quarter cubit shorter than the Alcarians of the East, like Bors, who had white skin, black hair and brown eyes. The Gachian culture seemed more vibrant and colourful than in Atlantis City. People wore bright clothing of yellow, red or light blue. Their swords were not straight, but curved cutlasses and scimitars. Bors and Hela dined in the tavern while two belly dancers entertained them. They danced very impressively, showing incredible grace and flexibility with their bodies, rolling on the floor and twisting their legs behind their backs. They slowly did a striptease, losing their robes. Then they danced over the laps of Bors and Hela, shamelessly grinding against their bodies. Hela reached into her purse and gave them a copper coin each. They smiled and kissed her in gratitude. Then they bowed to the applause, gathered up their clothes, and provocatively left the room. Hela saw the look on her husband's face and stood up. She took him by the hand and they headed straight to their room. She smiled and ignored the jeers from the rowdy crowd who whistled and snickered at them. Bors went bright red in the face. Moments later, Hela ripped his clothes off and shoved him onto the bed, telling him to get under the covers. The room was dark with only a little clay lamp burning. She walked over to put it out, but before she did, Bors said, "Wait." "What?" "First take your dress off." Hela gave a pained expression. "No, I'm old and ugly. I don't look like those beautiful strippers." Bors rose from the bed and put his arms around her. "To me, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. You're my wife. Be proud of your body." "I don't believe you, and I know you're only saying that to make me feel better. I have far too many wrinkles and grey hairs to compete with those beautiful exotic belly dancers. But I wish I could believe you." Bors said, "Even if you can't believe me, at least obey me. As your husband, I'm ordering you to strip before me. You were never ashamed of your body when you were the mayor of Oxica and my owner." Hela looked despondently. "I was confident back then. I was someone. I had high rank, wealth, status, slaves, and the king's favour. Then my whole world was shattered. I was displayed naked in public. Do you know how that felt?"
"Yes, actually, I do," said Bors.
"Sorry, I forgot that, my dear husband."
"Let me correct you," said Bors soothingly. "You still are something. You're a free woman starting your life all over again. And you're my wife. It might not be the same as what you were before, but at least you're a nicer person and more humble. So be grateful for what you have in life." Hela smiled and looked at him, love-struck. She loosened her own dress and let it fall into a puddle on the floor. Then she sat him on the bed and proudly and confidently danced for him as the strippers had done that evening. Then they made love into the late hours of the night and collapsed asleep in each other's arms. The next morning they awoke and proceeded with their journey, but not alone. A whole caravan of Gatchian traders were heading for the same destination. This was highly recommended to have strength in numbers. They had to cross the mountains and reach the desert with untold dangers. The Gatchians got Bors to lead the way since he was tall, and Hela had bragged about his combat experience. Since Bors was unfamiliar with this mountain range, Friggin, a short merchant, accompanied him at the front. Bors glanced behind him and noticed the two strippers among the travellers. Friggin looked behind and saw his wistful gaze at the ladies.
"Do those women grab your attention?" asked Friggin.
"They're beautiful," he said, "but I love my wife very much."
"Of course you do," affirmed the crafty merchant. "But your wife is probably too old to give you children. You know what you need?"
"What?" said Bors.
"A concubine. These two women are my slaves. Of course, I keep them clothed when we travel. It's too distracting for the men that see them."
"I fully understand."
"But I could sell one of them for a reasonable price. Their names are Ava and Serva. They're enthusiastic girls who will bring you happiness."
"You'll need to convince my wife. She's actually interested in buying a couple of young women to do her housework, help her make clothes and bear children for me. Friggin smiled.
Ah, allow me to have a word with her then.
Boss grinned like a child given a collection of clay animal toys to play with. He continued surveying the road ahead of him. Hella and Friggin were immersed in conversation, laughing together. But he knew distractions were foolish, as highway robbers had a great advantage if they were taken by surprise. Yet he couldn't stop thinking about the two strippers and which one he fancied the most. Boss reflected on an incident in his youth. He was caged with a group of slaves en route to a market. The two slave traders were in the midst of a shouting match on how to display the slaves. The two soldiers at the rear were laughing and joking together. Then, from out of nowhere, 10 armed men speared the soldiers through their backs. The slave traders weren't aware until they were violently hurled off the cart. The bandits grabbed the slave traders and cut their bullocks off and left them to bleed to death. Then they told the slaves they were their newest owners. Their service to the bandits, living in the jungle in tree houses, only lasted a few days. An Atlantean army routed them and brought them back to Atlantis City. The slaves were returned to the market, and the bandits were impaled on wooden stakes. The slaves gratefully thanked the soldiers for rescuing them. But Boss could see no difference in how either masters treated them. If anything, the bandits were slightly nicer, knowing they had less friends and a death sentence on their heads. Boss saw Ava and Serva now smiling at him. He was lost in thought, smitten by their beauty. Then Serva stared in front of her and shrieked as the sound of loud footsteps thudded towards them. Boss spun around and looked on in horror. A green reptilian humanoid, a massive 6 cubits in height, charged at him. Boss ripped out his bronze sword and readied himself. The monster screeched a terrifying, high-pitched howl, and Boss swung his sword at the creature's waist. The creature smashed the full force of his body against the small human, and he was thrown many cubits back. The force of his own sword smashing into his body cut through his chest, and blood spurted out as he fell down dazed. 3 Gatchian men drew out their scimitars and tried to hold the creature at bay. Boss finally got up. He saw his wife, Friggin, and the women and children cringing in fear. The creature smashed the skull of one of the men, who died instantly. The other two battled valiantly. He knocked one man unconscious and grabbed the other by the throat. Then Boss charged and stabbed the creature. He dropped the man, who recovered his breath. Then Boss swung again and cut open its stomach as its intestines fell out. Boss expected a roar of applause, but the travellers were wailing over the man who had died fighting. Then he collapsed, feeling faint. Boss awoke hours later, lying on his back. It was now dark, with only light from the moon and a campfire. Arthur was sitting next to him, affectionately stroking his head. "He's awake," she yelled. Hella rushed over to him and started sobbing. "You're alive," she said. "I thought we'd lost you." Friggin walked over to him and smiled. "You saved our lives. For that, I'm deeply grateful."
"You're much too kind," said Boss. "Without the other 3 men, I wouldn't have had a hope."
"All the same, it was you who felled the monster. I've gifted Ava to your wife as a present. But Hella saw how much she loved Serva and didn't have the heart to separate them. So she bought her as well. Your wife has a kind heart, Boss."
Boss felt his chest with stitches across it.
Friggin added, I stitched up your chest. I was once a physician's assistant, so I learned a lot from that.
Then I suppose you saved my life too, said Bors.
It's the least I could do, said the merchant.
The following day, they headed downhill from the mountains and into the desert. A large river ran from the mountains and it led the way west to Gachi City. Upon arrival, they found a thriving population of traders, visitors and merchants making a living. There were slaves, textiles and crockery that seemed to be the biggest trade sources. As new arrivals, they were brought before the throne of King Arumi, the Gachi Desert monarch, who was a vassal king to Atlantis City. They needed his permission to settle there. The king was busy, so an official asked them a few questions of their plans and agenda in migrating. Then he signed and handed them a piece of papyrus stating their right to live in Gachi. Hela went with Friggin, who showed her some houses for sale. She bought a two-story building for 15 gold pieces. The upstairs would be their living quarters and downstairs their clothing production room. They'd sell their wares on the marketplace. As many moons passed, Hela, Bors and their slave girls worked hard and became accustomed to their happy, stable life. For the first time, Bors was a free man and a man of much leisure, despite minimal work sewing clothes. But to earn extra income, he did a bit of guard duty for the city walls. Hela frequently reminded him that life doesn't get much better than this, because she could sense he was restless. What do you want? She asked him. Are me and the girls not enough for you? I'm very fortunate, he said, and I take nothing for granted. But I also know we're struggling to break even with our costs and profits on the marketplace. Hela shook her head. Don't be silly, Bors. We haven't missed a meal since our arrival here. Bors said, But you've had to constantly dig into your savings. Soon we might have none left, so we could really fall on hard times.
What are you suggesting? Asked his wife. Maybe I could do a few adventures or run some errands for people, search for missing persons, deliver some letters here and there.
Hela looked concerned.
But I'd worry about you constantly.
You women worry about everything, said Bors.
If it pays well and you promise to be careful, you have my permission, she finally said.
They embraced and headed for bed. Bors was about to enter a world of excitement and adventure.